Good morning and welcome to our service. We continue to look at Scripture to see that Jesus is indeed alive, our living Savior. We begin with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, your servant Moses proclaimed the resurrection to the children of Israel, to give them hope in the midst of their darkness. As we journey to the darkness of the cross, give us hope to look beyond it to the light of the resurrection. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our first hymn is "Now All the Vault of Heaven Resounds," and please stand for the fourth stanza.
Thank you.
liturgy that continues on the top of page 3. And we conduct the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore we confess our sins to Him, and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you of all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Him, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are His own dear child. May God give you the strength to live according to His will. Amen. We pray. O risen Lord Jesus, you came to your disciples and took away their fears with your word of peace. Come to us also by your word and banish our fears with the comforting assurance of your abiding presence, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading from Scripture is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 5, verses 12 to 32. The apostles were eyewitnesses of the living Savior, and they were given command to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. And here we find in this reading they're doing that mission work, but not everyone was happy to hear what they had to say, and they threatened them. Tried to get them to stop preaching about the crucified and risen Savior, but they couldn't stop because everybody needs to learn about their Savior. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared to join them. But the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the church, to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, and brought them out, and said, "Go stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders and children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." And the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they fear the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to the right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The second reading is from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 18. And here we find in the opening words of the book of Revelation that Jesus is sending a letter to seven congregations in Asia Minor. A wonderful message of life and salvation. And we find in the latter part of this reading, Jesus in different appearance with different parts of his body that was symbolic. It had special meaning behind the appearance of the different parts of his body. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. Jesus, he was, is, and he is to come in the last day. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. He's talking about the last day when Jesus will come from the clouds above, and everybody will see him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. And Jesus says about himself, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," says the Lord, "who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience in Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the last day, on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. And his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of Hades and of death. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. And blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Please stand, we join in the confession of our faith and the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the hymn, The Day of Resurrection, and please stand at the singing of the fourth stanza. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from the living Savior, Jesus Christ. The words of our Lord that we consider this morning are taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 47. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoken to you while I was still with you, that all things must now be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." It's a far text. Please be seated. In the name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, with Jesus' victorious death and resurrection, our Savior perfectly completed the mission of his Father that he was given to him, namely, to redeem the whole world of lost and condemned sinners from their huge debt of sin and the stranglehold of Satan and the terrifying and unending death in hell. Now the Lord Jesus turns to us and all other Christians to get the word out of his salvation, both near and far. This is certainly a tall order, but lest we become overwhelmed by this, it is important for us to remember that along with God's command comes the power to carry it out. During the early days of the Christian church, it was the apostles who led the effort of mission outreach. Their taking the lead in mission work didn't mean that they did all the work. Sometimes, well, there was a whole host of common, ordinary Christians who testified of their faith to their neighbors and to anybody who would listen to them to learn about their Savior Jesus. Sometimes folks have a tendency of thinking it's the professionally trained pastors, professors, teachers, and missionaries. They're the ones who are equipped to carry out mission work. Well, in the case of the apostles, like I said before, it was just common, ordinary Christians who spread the word about the living Savior. From time to time in our worship service, we read from the book of Acts, maybe a certain series of scripture readings or a series of sermon studies. And not too long ago, when Pastor Luke was in our midst, he took us through a study of the book of Acts. This is a marvelous book to study because it gives us wonderful examples of how to carry out mission work, not only by the pastors and missionaries, but by every Christian. When we look at, on the day of Jesus' resurrection, we look at the apostles after Jesus rose from the dead, it's clear to see that they were far from ready of leading an army of Christians to do mission work. gathered together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They were afraid to go anywhere. Oh, there were a few that ventured out to go and talk to others, while the rest of them just huddled behind closed doors. As we witness the scene in the pages of Holy Scripture, it should cause us to stop and take a look at ourselves in bearing witness of the living Savior. Are we afraid to go outside the walls of our homes and outside the walls of the sanctuary to talk to others about the living Savior, Jesus Christ? If so, are we hesitant because we're concerned about how people might react to what we say? Or because we're not quite sure what to say? Well, the apostles were fearful, and they didn't know what to say about the gospel in the early hours of that first Easter Sunday. One major truth of the Christian faith the apostles needed to gain understanding is that we have a living Savior. Although Jesus had previously told them that he had to suffer many things and die on the cross and rise again on the third day, for some reason, they didn't seem to remember that. Even when the reports came in on Easter Sunday from the women and from the Emmaus disciples, they didn't believe them. They thought it was some kind of wives' tales. And that same evening, Jesus appeared in their midst, and they couldn't believe their eyes. They thought they were seeing a spirit being. And so Jesus, he appealed to their senses of sight and touch. He invited them to examine his body, to examine the nail prints in his hands and his feet and his side. Handle me and see that I'm alive. And when the disciples still were not convinced of what they had seen and touched, he said, now give me something to eat. A spirit doesn't eat. He showed them he was flesh and blood standing right there before them. How critical it is for the apostles and the other disciples of Christ to be completely convinced that Jesus was truly alive again. This was necessary so that they could serve as eyewitnesses of a paramount fact of Jesus' bodily resurrection. They needed to be eyewitnesses for their own personal faith and for our faith and for all those who would listen to us about Jesus, the living Lord and Savior. The apostles testifies of the importance of Christ's resurrection as he emphatically stated that our Christian faith hinges on Jesus' resurrection. He says, if Jesus hasn't risen, our faith is vain and empty. We're still in our sins, and we're doomed to end up in the eternal death of hell. Christ's resurrection is of absolute importance, his bodily resurrection. But since Christ did rise from the dead, this serves as a bedrock foundation for saving faith, which we rest our faith securely upon, and then we bear witness to others of a living Savior. Quite briefly, Jesus' resurrection proves that he's God and not just man. And as God, he was able to bear the sins of the world when he was on the cross. As God, he was able to suffer the full punishment for all of our transgressions, all of them, past, present, and future. And therefore, it marks our accounts with him paid in full. All your sins forgiven, without exception. And Jesus' resurrection finally bears witness that because he lives, we too shall live. That is, because he rose from the dead, on the third day, on the last day of this world, we will be raised as he was raised, with a glorified and perfect body, to live in that new heavenly world forever. The Easter celebration just passed means different things to different people. For many, Easter merely means the celebration of the Easter bunny, Easter lilies, colored eggs, and candy, and welcoming the coming of spring. Bushes and trees flowering out, leaves coming out, and plants coming up and blooming. That's about what many of people think that Easter is all about. Easter's on the minds of many people at this time of year. And so if it is, we can talk to them about what Easter really is all about. It's about a living Savior who gives us eternal life. It's not just talking about plants coming out of the ground. It's about God giving us eternal life. There are undoubtedly many in the world who know of Jesus and that he died on the cross. However, many of them don't know why he suffered and died in this manner. And as we learn from our scripture text, the disciples of Christ, they didn't fully understand about the gospel of Christ either at the beginning. And so Jesus had to help them. In verses 44 to 46 we read, "Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." The Lord Jesus had to remind them what he told them before. I have to suffer and die on the cross, and then I have to rise again on the third day. He had to remind them what the Old Testament prophets had foretold concerning him. Through the use of the powerful word of God, Jesus opened their understanding to know and to believe that what was foretold in the Old Testament was fulfilled in the New Testament in Jesus Christ. What the message? Our salvation, our eternal salvation. When folks hear reference being made to the Bible, there are those who are inclined to dismiss this book as just being a book of do's and don'ts, a rule book. And it would appear that there are many in our day who don't like to hear the don'ts. They don't like to hear that they're sinners. We might hear people say, "Now you don't tell me that I'm doing something wrong, and I won't tell you that you're doing something wrong." Well, we know the Bible isn't basically a rule book. Rather, the central message of the Bible is Jesus, the promised Savior who came into this world to bless us with eternal life in heaven. The Old Testament foretold it, and the New Testament reveals it has been fulfilled. Now, toward the end of the Gospel of John, these are the words that the evangelists wrote. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Now, what John wrote here doesn't just simply apply to his gospel record, it applies to all of Scripture. "This is written so that you might believe that Jesus is your Savior who gives you eternal life." That is the message of the Bible, the central message. Now, there are, to be sure, do's and don'ts in the Bible. We know them as God's unchangeable moral law, the commandments that apply to all people in every generation of time. And whether or not people like to hear the law and how it applies to them, we're to make use of it in carrying out mission work, that of calling sinners to repentance. Every sinner needs to be hearing the law of God, which exposes our sinfulness and convicts us for it and shows us that we're lost and condemned sinners. Without this, none of them will see a need for a living Savior. I don't need him. I'm doing just fine. We need to hear the law that exposes and convicts us of our sin and that we need a Savior. So then, everyone is in need of hearing the do's and don'ts of the law. Whether it be in preparation for Christian conversion or maintaining our Christian faith. Will unconverted sinners like to hear their sins exposed? Not likely. Because we have a sinful flesh, none of us like to hear our sins exposed. Will we be able to convince them of their lost condition? This is not our concern, because we're not the ones who open human understanding, convicts a person of his sin, crushes his spirit with sorrow, and makes him ready to learn about a living Savior. That's not what we do. God does that. He works through his powerful word to convince and convert the lost sinner. When through the powerful word the Lord brings low the sinner so that he despairs of himself and wants to learn about how he can be saved, that is when we have an opening to talk about Jesus, our living Savior. We can testify to the crucified and risen Lord Jesus, who took away everyone's sins, everyone, by his sacrifice on the cross. And that because of his redemptive work, God declares us forgiven. The whole world. He says, Jesus paid for all your sins. You're forgiven through him. As we share the gospel of Christ, we want our hearers to know that God's forgiveness is unconditional. God doesn't tell us to do this or that in order to merit forgiveness. No. He gives us forgiveness, eternal life, as a gift. It's a free gift of grace. It's nothing that we do to earn or deserve it. It's given to us and received through faith in Jesus. God simply calls us through his word to repent of our sins and to believe in Christ as our Savior for the remission of our sins. And even as our response of repentance and faith is not something that we manufacture, God, through his powerful, spirit-filled word, works repentance and faith in our hearts. As Christian witnesses, we're simply to share the word. And God will do the rest. What a wonderful blessing it is to know and believe in the living Savior, for he's our life and our salvation. And what a privilege we have to be his ambassadors, to share with others their Savior, who gives them life and salvation. May the Lord ever keep us in the Christian faith and bless our efforts of spreading the message of salvation both near and far. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, Come You Faithful, Raise the Strain. In addition to our general prayer, our prayers have been requested for Pastor John Hine. He is the pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Fridley, Minnesota. He has been battling cancer for quite a long time. And on Easter Sunday morning, he was hospitalized and he had fluid that had to be drained from him. It's not a heart problem, but it looks like they have to put him on a diuretic that may have an effect on his kidneys, and he may have to go on kidney dialysis. So we want to offer up a prayer for him in addition to our general prayer. Lord God, our refuge and strength, who is an ever-present help in trouble, mercifully remember the needs of Pastor Hine and take him in your loving care. Give knowledge and skill to the physicians and surgeons attending to him, and bless him with health and healing through their treatment. Give to all who have under a care and understanding of and a compassion for his needs. If it is your will, lend him speedy healing and complete recovery from his illness. Daily renew and increase his physical strength. Comfort also his spirit, forgiving all his sins, increasing his faith, and removing from his heart any doubts. Help him to meet without fear and to accept without complaining all the hardships and pain which in your wisdom you might yet still visit him with. All these things we ask in the name of our Savior, our living Savior, who bore the pains and death of the cross and rose again to give Pastor Hine and all those who look to him in faith eternal life. O Savior Jesus Christ, there is no work or sacrifice we can do to turn away God's wrath from us. But eternal thanks be to you, because through your suffering and death on the cross, you have won full forgiveness for all our sins and established peace between us and God. This peace God announced unmistakably to the whole world when he raised you from the dead. Now, peace and forgiveness will always be ours, for you ever live to make intercession for us in heaven. Our ever-living Lord, this peace which you brought to us sinners fills our hearts with joy, for we know that whenever we meet God, we shall stand before him unaccused, uncondemned, and unpunished, and that at last will be received into that everlasting joys of heaven. O Father, though the reminders of your curse upon sin are still evident, the thorns and thistles and weeds that plague the ground, the sickness and disease, the wars, the toil, pain, and death that are so much a part of this temporal life, nevertheless fill our hearts with peace so that these things hold no terror for us. As our Father in Christ Jesus, hear us when we pray, according to your will, remove the things that distress us, and so that we may experience the peace which transcends all understanding, pardon our offenses as we daily plead the merits of your Son. O Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us faith to accept God's offer of peace through Christ. Grant that we remain steadfast in our faith, so we never lose our redemption purchased with the Savior's blood. Cause the peace which God has declared through Christ to rule our hearts so abundantly that we'll serve our God in all that we do or say. Broadcast throughout the world that blessed message of pardon and peace and the crucified and risen Christ, and draw the hearts of sinners to the living Savior, calling them to repentance and working faith in their hearts. In the blessed name of Jesus, we ask all this, and in his name we also join to pray that prayer which Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. Please stand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please remain standing for the singing of the final hymn. Please be seated. Good morning. We welcome our guests. We're glad that you're able to join us this morning. And we hope and pray that the message of the living Savior has uplifted your hearts and given you hope. We hope that you'll join us again. And please sign our guest book in the table in the entryway. The choir is asked to meet after the service this morning to discuss plans for a singing on Mother's Day. The book club will be held on Monday. Oh, no, not Monday. Friday. First day of April. Oh, May. I'll get it right here. 6:30. Next Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper with worship service, the choir after that. Please note, upcoming, there's a run-a-thon by our students. That's on May 9th. Opportunity to support. And the money that will be going to the Traveling Vacation Bible School that will be visiting us this summer to help us carry out Vacation Bible School. Also, please note that our missionary in Tanzania, Pastor Bruce Nauman, is asking if you have any old, used Android phones or Apple phones lying around unused. If you do, if you could bring them to church and he'll transport them to Tanzania for his seminary students to use. And may God in His, there's also the calendars for the month of May. And may God in His grace be with you always.